920. Talk Radio 930 WTAD, the Mary Griffith Show underway, brought to you by Harvest Ridge Coffee from Refreshment Services Pepsi. And we love that they sponsor our program every day. Today, full disclosure, I'm having a diet Mountain Dew. I'm getting my last soda in before winter full officially steps in. Community Foundation is here, and we have, of course, Catherine Bakke-Mekas is here to talk to us about the Community Foundation, joined by Matt Schmidt from the Kroc Center. And we're going to talk about fundraising and all kinds of things. But I'm going to let you set the agenda today, Catherine. What's on your mind when it comes to the Community Foundation, please? Give us an update.
You know, there's always something on our minds, Mary. Philanthropy never sleeps. We're gearing up for year-end busyness. You know, it's always good. That's nonprofits. All of us are, you know, trying to get that last few hours of sleep before we don't sleep for the end of the year, which is great because it's when people start to think about
taxes.
I was going to say, you know, the spirit of
charity and the spirit of giving.
That's right. Gratitude. But yes, all of those things. And yeah, it's great. You know, we will always have people kind of thinking of, you know, I've been thinking about making a gift, or I've been thinking about establishing a fund, and it seems to be the last quarter is when they decide to take that step forward. So we're kind of preparing for all of those conversations and helping our donors maximize their giving. At the same time, we have our year-end grants that we're starting to prepare for, so our designated funds. And these are the endowments that support a specific nonprofit organization. Maybe the nonprofit set up that endowment for themselves, or they have a special donor who did it for them, if they're very fortunate to have that special donor. But all those grants will be awarded in December. So we're hard at work getting those all prepared. And it's always a great way to kind of celebrate the holiday season by giving out some money.
It is fantastic. And, you know, I will say this, it's never too early. Last night was what, September 30th, and at the city council meeting, Jake Reed gave a shout out to the Salvation Army. It was still time to sign up to ring bells. So I'm like, we haven't even had Halloween, we haven't had Thanksgiving, and we're talking about Salvation Army Christmas fundraising.
It's coming. I was at Home Depot last night, and yeah, they're setting up Christmas.
He can't decide. So. I want, if you're listening, Hy-Vee Management, I want your wiener dog in a skeleton. That's all I want. When you're done with that display, please get that to me. I don't know if you have to wash it through the Community Foundation to get a tax deduction, but anything you can do to make sure I get wiener dog in a skeleton suit for my front porch next year, that's all I care about right now. That's all I care about. Well, Matt, you're here to talk about a lot of things. You always will talk about the Kroc Center and the Salvation Army, but specifically today, a lot of times these not-for-profits, which, you know, the Community Foundation is trying to help so much, but they need to help themselves. But it's hard because I don't mind asking for money. I've done that professionally in my life, and I find it very easy to do. But for most people, that is absolutely the worst thing. They never want to volunteer to do that. They never want to ask for money. But there's a special group that's coming to Quincy, and they're going to help people learn how easy it is, really, to ask for money. Because if you believe in your cause, the worst they could say is no, and nobody says, no, I hate you. They just say, no, I can't give this year.
Right. Well, as Catherine mentioned, lots of nonprofits are gearing up for the end of the year, and what's nice about of what we all do in the community to serve the community is we share the same goals, we share the same frustrations, the same roadblocks, the same challenges. And so several years ago, it was brought up that why aren't we networking better together? Why aren't we trying to help each other a little bit? So the Tri-State Area Fundraising Professionals Group was formed, and Catherine and I both sit on the board of that. And so we meet four times a year, and we have about 30 members, but guests are welcome as well. But it's just a way to bring nonprofit staff together. It could be board members as well, just to say, hey, what's working for you? What's not working for you? Here's what we're doing. You're having an event that weekend. Maybe we should plan our event for another weekend. You know, little things like that that can just help each other out a little bit. But then we bring in speakers. It started with lots of local speakers, but we've expanded. COVID taught us you can bring speakers in from anywhere in the country. So we've been able to bring people in from New York, the West Coast, and just talk about different topics in fundraising, whether it's board development, online fundraising, you know, networking, just little things like that. So we meet four times a year, but a few years ago we thought, what more could we be doing? And the idea came up to do a day-long workshop because we realized, you know, some of us, bigger nonprofits, if there's a conference somewhere, we can go there. We can travel there. If you're just a volunteer-only organization, you're not spending thousands of dollars to travel somewhere. So why not bring those speakers to Quincy? And so that's what we're doing with this fundraising workshop. And next week on Thursday, October 10th, we're having another one. And this time we're bringing in the fundraising school from the Lilly Family School of Philanthropy in Indiana. So top-notch speakers coming to Quincy, preventing topics all day long, and it's open to every nonprofit. And when we say that, we mean it could be educational-based, it could be church-based. I mean, some churches sometimes overlook that they're technically fundraising all the time, whether they're having bake sales or dinners or stuff. Find out what you can do better to reaching out to members. So, yeah, we have this coming up next Thursday. It's from 8:30 to 3:30, and there's still time to get registered.
Okay. This is exciting because you're bringing these top-level people. Now, you mentioned something that, you know, obviously, when you belong to an international organization like the Salvation Army, there's no need to recreate the wheel. Your kettle campaign is branded. Everybody knows about it. The Kroc Centers. Quincy was lucky to get one of those. I think there's only 26 in the Correct. United States, and I believe we maybe
third smallest.
Yeah. So, you know, you're very lucky because you can pick up the phone and call somebody at your world headquarters and say, hey, we're thinking about doing this. Do you have any ideas? But if I'm running a little pet rescue, like we just recently had Cuddle Cat Rescue was in the news, you know, they may be forced to close their doors after 7 years because they just can't. It's a no-kill shelter. When you're a no-kill shelter, that means the cats live there in perpetuity until somebody adopts them. So there's all kinds of not-for-profits. Now, are they going to go out and raise $1 million? No. But are they going to learn some strategies of how to raise money with this seminar? Yes. The things that work for the big can also work for the small. You just have to scale it down. But it's all mission and purpose driven. Isn't that what most philanthropy really is mission and purpose driven?
Relationships. Yeah. Getting out there and building relationships with people. And like you said, so if you're a small nonprofit that's struggling, maybe you come here and you get some fundraising ideas, but maybe you also learn, wait, there are grants out there I could be applying for. So we have sessions on grant management and how to do those, because a lot of times those get overlooked when you're a small nonprofit. You're like, I don't know how to write a big grant. They're not all that complicated. And once you get one under your belt, they really do tend to get a lot easier. So just finding out what grants are available to you can make a big difference in your fundraising efforts.
Yeah, my brother's a professional fund development person, and I've done that in my life too. And I will say that writing a grant is, once you get the formula down, it's pretty easy. It's kind of like learning to drive a car. Nobody wants to take the 15-year-old out. But that's what big parking lots are for, you know. But finally, by the time you're really good at driving a car, you can go on an 8-lane highway and without crashing into other people. The problem is that learning curve. Who's going to take the 15-year-old on their first drive? And that's what this philanthropy unit is trying to do. Give people kind of the training wheels they need to get going in philanthropy. Because if you can't collect money, you can't do your mission. That's all there is to it. I mean, money does make the world go round. Now, this is also the month of service. And last night at the city council, a gentleman appeared there who said he was asking everyone to give 2 hours of service. He says, we're not asking for any money. We're asking for 2 hours of service. Tomorrow, Quincy University is giving 3 hours of service without expecting any pay for it. So giving your time is very critical, but we also need money to buy things, so that's why it's important. So how do we register for this again? It's at the Kroc Center, right?
Yep, it is at the Kroc Center. Beautiful facilities there, perfect for an event like this. And Quincy University is handling the registrations, but we've got a registration link. It is too complicated to read over the air, but if you go to Facebook and search for Tri-State Area Fundraising Professionals, we've got an event page with the link on there. Community Foundation also has it on our website. So super easy registration form, and it's a fantastic price. When you're looking at the Lilly School of Philanthropy and their offerings and the level of speakers, if you travel for one of their programs, you'd be spending, even if you did a virtual class, you're looking to spend at least $1,000. And so this is going to be $25 for members of Tri-State Fundraising Professionals and $50 for non-members. And it's going to be a great day. And we're encouraging organizations, consider sending 2 people because there are a couple of concurrent sessions. So you don't want to miss any of the content. So, you know, if you've got a staff member and a volunteer or a couple of staff members, whatever that looks like, try to divide and conquer and, you know, share notes afterwards because it's going to be just packed with fantastic information, especially as we're entering the year-end giving spree here.
Yes, indeed. Why not help other people connect with causes like the Community Foundation does? We're going to take a quick break when we come back. More of our conversation with the Community Foundation and how they're helping us today. Matt Schmidt from the Kroc Center joins Catherine Meckes in our studios. It's 9:30. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We're talking today about the Community Foundation, and it benefits so many different charities. And one of the charities that it does benefit is the Salvation Army and the Salvation Army Kroc Center, two separate entities now. We have to kind of keep that separate. Matt Schmidt is here. Matt, talk about, obviously you do your own fundraising efforts, and we know the Red Kettle campaign will be underway soon, and fall harvest is underway to try to get money for food, or, you know, food for food pantries. But talk a little bit about Salvation Army's affiliation with the Community Foundation serving West Central Illinois and Northeast Missouri, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Quick plug on that fall harvest. I'm going to be out at Hy-Vee on Broadway all day today with food collection.
Would
so please stop by and help me fill the truck. Stuff the truck.
Dog,
there you go. Keep an eye on for it.
Skeleton suit. Okay.
So, yes. So, like I say, when you give to the Salvation Army, you donate, a lot of that goes to the general fund. That's supporting the shelter. That's supporting food pantry.
Day to day.
But there are projects that come up throughout the year, like, boy, if we had designated money for that, that would be great. So that's where we can turn to the Community Foundation during the grant cycle, competitive grant cycle, and say, hey, we have this project. So we can apply for that type of money. And then, as Catherine mentioned, a lot of donor advised funds also support us. And so we come up to the end of the year, and we have people who are thinking about you throughout the year by supporting their own fund that is then supporting groups like Salvation Army and other organizations. So it's a major benefit. The Community Foundation, not only for us, but for all nonprofits, and it's been a nice symbiotic relationship where we're able to get additional resources that aren't covering those day-to-day operations.
You know, thank goodness that the Kroc family, you know, they didn't found McDonald's, but they made McDonald's what it is. You know, McDonald's restaurants branched out all over the world. And when Joan and Ray Kroc were trying to decide what to do with their billions, they said, you know, all these people ate all these hamburgers all over the world. Let's give back. And one of the things they did was give money to build the Kroc Center right here in Quincy. You know, but again, that gift came with the understanding that there would always be some money set aside to maintain that facility and everything. So we're constantly thinking towards the future. It's not just spending today for operations for day to day, but Catherine, it is putting a little bit of grain aside so you can plant next year's.
That is exactly right. You know, we're looking at making sure that our nonprofits have resources today. But really, our, you know, the Community Foundation and our donors' biggest impact of those endowments is going to be tomorrow. It's going to be in the future, because the whole purpose is we're growing it, we're stewarding it, and it's just going to keep growing and supporting our community more. And we're very grateful for partners like the Salvation Army and the Kroc Center who really bring our mission to life. Because we're here ultimately to build these resources, build this endowment that's going to improve the quality of life. And then we look to our fantastic grantees to carry that out and bring our donors' legacies to life.
Okay. And if you want more information about the philanthropy workshop, you can register through Quincy University. And if you want more information about end-of-year giving through the Community Foundation, you can contact them. And if you want to ring a bell for the Salvation Army, you can register to ring, according to Jake Green, starting yesterday. So there's lots of ways for you to help, and we want you to take advantage of as many as you would like. Speaking of help, we're going to help you with your health. If you're on Medicare, you're entitled to a wellness visit every year. So we'll learn about that. But first, we'll step aside. Quincy Mack, Truck Sales and Service, brings you this report from the URSA Farmers Cooperative. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Already, everything that's wrong with me is coming up to the forefront because we have a doctor in the office here at the Radio Ranch. Dr. Taryn Blanchard has joined us, I believe your first time on the Mary Griffith Show. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
We'll learn a little bit more about you. And Tina Aberkamp is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
I didn't see you at Rotary Oktoberfest, but you saw me.
I did. I saw you dancing. You're quite skilled.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
The guy I'm dancing with was born in 1932. He can dance every dance continuously. I have to sit down every... I can't do it. So I'm out of breath. Maybe doctor can.
He seemed amazing. That's for sure. And he had his shirt on that stated when he was born.
I'm an original 1932 model. That's the shirt he always wears. I know, it's fantastic. But we're going to talk today about Medicare annual wellness visit. Dr. Taryn Blanchard, let's learn a little bit about you first. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became affiliated with Blessing Hospital.
Sure. Thanks for having me on this morning. So my name is Dr. Blanchard, one of the primary care doctors at Blessing Health System. I work over at 48th and Main in our medical center down there. I've been here about 5 years. I'm an ex-military doctor. I moved here from Fort Gordon, Georgia. It's been a very good experience and really looking forward to taking care of the patients of Quincy.
You know, ex-military doctors are interesting. I had one of those one time, and she looked like a lovely, soft golden retriever with her blonde hair and her very soft manner, but she was a lieutenant colonel, retired, and I was complaining one day how hard it was to lose weight, and she said, Griffith, put a 40-pound sack on your back and walk up and down a hill a few times and you'll lose weight. So she became a Rottweiler overnight. You military people, you don't take many excuses,
it's
do you?
It's a different perspective, for sure.
Now it's different, okay. Because you can order people around when you're in the military,
right,
but your patients,
it's a little different, exactly.
You have to coerce them, them.
And collaborate.
Now, this is, I don't know how long ago they put this in, but the idea is that when you get to be a certain age, the government is going to help you with your health care needs. They're going to pay for some of this, and they want to do this because... You know, early detection, prevention, finding out you've got diabetes, high blood pressure, maybe you are 10 pounds of sugar in a 5-pound sack and you really need to lose that. Mm-hmm. Those are all important things. So I don't know which one of you wants to tell me what happens at a wellness visit, but what does happen, Tina Aberkamp, when I come in and say, I'm here, I've made my appointment, I want my Medicare annual wellness checkup?
Yes. After checking in, we'll check your blood pressure, we'll get your height, and we'll get your weight.
My height is shrinking and my weight is growing, so that happens when you get older.
Yes, that happens to all of us. So we'll do all those normal things, but we'll also test you for your falls. Are you stable? We'll test your memory. We'll talk about advanced care planning, which is, making sure we have that you've in your chart who you've chosen to make those decisions, those healthcare decisions when you can't. So there's multiple things that we do in this very structured visit.
That durable power of attorney for healthcare, or that living will, etc. That's a tough decision to have with patients, but. First of all, there's no age. You should have that probably even when you're 20. But as you get older, it becomes ever more problematic. And that is one area where the physician can and the nurse can kind of guide them into, you really need to do this. It's part of your ongoing care.
You know, Mary, we call this a visit, but it's really a very detailed conversation with your provider. It's not the normal visit. It's having a lengthy conversation on your safety and how you're doing in the home, and very, very preventative.
And this, of course, happens when you're eligible for Medicare, so you're usually over, the age of 65. Obviously, there are some exceptions. Dr. Blanchard, so let's just take you through. I'll be your hypothetical patient here on WTAD. I present myself. So nice to meet you. You're going to ask me some general questions. You know, you've already probably got my blood pressure. You know what my blood oxygen is. You kind of know what medications I take, maybe. You know, so what kind of things are you going to discuss with me? I guess I'm going to tell you my concerns, right? This is the things I'm having problems with.
Absolutely, and that's what we always start with, what your concerns are. And we can align your concerns with what Medicare needs us to do, but the patient always comes first. So I think there's this idea that somehow we're going to get tunnel vision on the form and not listen to you, but that's not the case at all. This is essentially a yearly exam that we do for our patients. And it's very structured, like Tina said. And some of these things we can trend over time. Let's say your memory isn't the best this year. Next year we can compare it. And then we have a lot of data to go on. But in terms of the structure, cancer screenings are huge. You know, breast cancer screening, colon cancer screening, screening for an aneurysm, a screening for low bone density. All these things are covered with the Medicare wellness exam. Additionally, we look at immunizations, like for your pneumonia, for the flu, for shingles. And it's done in such a formulaic way that nothing gets missed. And that's what I like about it, because from provider to provider, there's no variation in terms of what goes into the Medicare wellness exam. So you can add to it, but you really can't take anything out of it. So a lot of times I'll go through what Medicare needs us to do. Then we talk about your issues too, refill all your medications, order any labs. So it's a very comprehensive visit.
Do I get this from my regular provider, or do I have to go to a special physician for my Medicare wellness visit?
That's a great question. So you can go to your primary care provider for sure. We can do that. And now Tina and I have partnered. We've set up some other options for patients to go in case your primary care provider isn't available. We have other resources for you, some of the nurse practitioners out in the community. We have another clinic getting set up to do this. We think this is very important. We ran some data on this last year, and it showed that these wellness exams are very, very, very valuable in terms of your overall health. So we're really pushing this and trying to get this stuff done.
One of the things that I know, as I speak from experience now that I'm older, one of the things that happens is some of the things that can really be wrong with you at any age, but especially when you're older, don't necessarily have symptoms. So if you don't get your blood pressure checked regularly, you don't know if you have hypertension. You don't know what your blood sugar is. You don't know if you have diabetes or not. You talk about bone density. A lot of times the first time women realize they have no bone density is they break their hip. You mm-hmm. want to get ahead of all this. And that's why these wellness mm-hmm. visits were invented, because the federal government said we are spending a fortune mm-hmm. treating people mm-hmm. for diseases that if we'd have caught it earlier on, we could save ourselves a lot of money. I mean, it really is not only our health savings, but it's a cost savings.
It really is. And we all end up paying for this in the long run anyway in terms of taxes. So we all contribute to this. And like you said, the bone density is a big one. I mean, like you said, if you break your hip 80, 85 years old, it's catastrophic. But at 65, if we can catch that, get you on treatment, we can reduce that risk. Another one I see is the lung cancer screening. That's something that sometimes providers, we don't remember as a part of our routine physical, but the Medicare wellness exam forces us to kind of cover that. And I've caught lung cancer a bunch of times before it turned into a problem, probably would have killed the patient. So, I mean, I believe in these exams, and I just got finished doing one before I got here.
Wow, fantastic. My mother died of lung cancer, breast cancer, and then she wasn't feeling well, and she was having trouble catching her breath.
Mm.
And now she was a smoker, and then she quit.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
It was interesting. She was diagnosed on the first Thursday in June, and she was dead by July 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And my best friend died of lung cancer. She was diagnosed on March 17th and was dead in June. And, you know, it's so interesting. My friend never smoked.
Mm-hmm.
Never
mm-hmm.
smoked a cigarette a day in her mm-hmm. life, and yet had lung cancer, which mm-hmm. unfortunately by the time she caught it, because she was so young, she didn't think about lung cancer. Mm-hmm. She never smoked. It had mm-hmm. metastasized. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of fascinating that, you know, as many people die of lung cancer that we think about getting our annual mammogram,
mm-hmm.
we think, but we don't. How often should we be screened for lung cancer?
So if you quit smoking within the past 15 years and you have what we call a 20-pack year history, you should be getting screened every year with a low-dose CT scan. And I'm sorry to hear, you know, what happened to you. Same thing happened with my father-in-law. And no fault of his doctor, because we tend not to think about this, but if he had been getting his screening, I really think he'd be alive today. By the time they found it, it was the size of a grapefruit, and he passed a few months later. So I take those very, very seriously, and we definitely get those done, and we have a great registry of Blessing, and we stay on top of those and follow you every year.
You know, I keep my colonoscopy up to date because my father died of colon cancer, and again, by the time it was detected, my dad would never go to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
His idea of an annual wellness checkup was once every 100 years. but, you know, and so, you know, by the time it was detected, it was too late. And I think that is one of the things that I have you on today for, and why Blessie wanted to come on.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things that could improve the quality of our lives. But Tina Averkamp, we have to know about it early,
right?
Don't we?
That's right. And just to backtrack here a little bit, one of the important portions of the visit is the family history.
Mm-hmm.
Not only your own medical history, but your family history, so that we have that documented. So
mm-hmm.
just wanted to throw that in there, that is a big portion of the visit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, my brother and I now don't miss colonoscopies. I mean, you know, we The irony of it is, I made my appointment the day my dad got his diagnosis. My father died. I went and had my colonoscopy the day after he died. I went ahead and went through with the procedure. Somebody said, "Well, why did you do that? I mean, you're planning the funeral." You know, I said, "No, I mean, I needed to do it. You know, it was already on the schedule, and I needed to do it." And it kind of was interesting. A day of rest as I was recovering from my first colonoscopy, I was thinking to myself, "Dad, if you'd have done this sooner, you might still be here today." And so it is so sad. So our primary care physician can give this to us and should be doing this. But if we don't have a primary care physician, which so many people don't, a lot of times people don't even think about going to the doctor. Their first doctor is the emergency room visit or urgent care. Talk a little bit about that, Dr. Blanchard. That's not a good way to plan your medical help, is it?
It isn't. And I think kind of to piggyback on what Ms. Gowerkamp was saying is that this is a conversation that we have with patients, and we really built that rapport. You can refuse things. You can decline things. We'll have that conversation. And over years, once we build that relationship, a lot of times we can kind of find people who participate in this, and we find what they need, and we tailor that treatment for their needs and their desires. I have patients who never want a flu shot. We're not going to force you to get a flu shot, force you to get a mammogram or anything like that. We're going to take care of you and listen to you and give you what you need. And in terms of getting a primary care provider, I think.
Yes, so we recommend that you call your primary care provider first. And if you cannot get in there in a timely manner that's convenient to you, we are offering them at 24th and Broadway at the Blessing Employer Clinic, and they can call there. Do you want that number?
Yes, please do.
214-6300. So the primary care provider is really your first bet, and then we do have those offered there. We also have, spots reserved with our nurse practitioners that are located in the office with the primary care providers. Mm-hmm. So that works as well. 48th Street, 9th and Broadway, and 24th and Broadway. So,
and I'm sure all your Blessing satellite clinics align, you know, all of them align everywhere. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, again, this is so critically important, and what we're dealing with is kind of an undoctored population by choice. Mm-hmm. That's very difficult, I'm sure, for doctors and nurses to hear, but there are an awful lot of people who just, they don't want to go.
Right.
And I've had almost every diagnostic test known to man. If I hear one more woman tell me how much a mammogram hurts, I'm like, come on. I mean, really? Yeah. I mean, it's like 30 seconds. It's uncomfortable. We build ourselves up. I mean, a colonoscopy, is it pleasant? Well, the actual procedure is nothing. You don't even know what's happening. But is the prep pleasant? It's not terrible. You know, come on.
And we have
get on your big
now.
Boy and girl pants.
For colon cancer screening, we have the ColaGuard now.
Yeah.
We have a bowel movement in the kit and send it off. They look for genetic signs of colon cancer. You have nothing to lose with that screening, and that's covered through Medicare as well. So if you're someone who doesn't want to go through the prep and the colonoscopy, we have less invasive options to screen you for colon cancer.
Yeah, that you don't have to start with the big number. You can go smaller steps.
And we've really opened up also, just to be convenient, we've opened up so many options of where you can go within the Blessing system. So just want to put that out there again, that you're not going to have to wait as long as you think. They do have to be 12 months apart.
Right.
You do have to be a Medicare B participant.
Okay. So Part A alone is not enough.
Right. You have to be Medicare Part B, which is outpatient, and you have to have been on B for 12 months, and that's when we can start the annual.
Okay. So if you qualify under that, why are you passing up this free thing the government wants to give you? And the reason they want to give it to you is because the sooner you catch these problems, the more likely it is you will survive and have a quality of life that you like. Mm-hmm. And also, it is much less expensive to give you a mammogram than it is to have a double mastectomy and recover from that. Mm-hmm. And why do you think, doctor, I mean, this is a philosophical question. I mean, yeah, back when, you know, the dentist pulled out your tooth and was also your barber and didn't use any anesthetic, I understand why people didn't like to go to the doctor. But you're a man of modern medicine. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the shots don't hurt anymore. I don't know if your needles are real thin or something. I don't know, but why do people still have this, I don't want to go to the doctor? What is the fear that they express to you?
I think it's honestly, it's the fear of finding out. It's not the fear of the unknown, it's the fear of finding out and to think that perhaps you face your own mortality. But what I tell people, it's going to catch up to you one way or the other anyway, so you might as well find it when it's early so we can do something about it. Because unfortunately, a lot of my patients, they say, oh, you know, I'm going to die of something. And that's true, but like you said, it's the quality. How do you want to go? You know, do you want to have a stroke? Do you have an aneurysm that ruptures? Do you want to have breast cancer, colon cancer, where your family will suffer, you'll suffer, when we can prevent these things with modern technology? So come on in. It's not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of you not knowing what to do. Just come see the professionals and we can get you taken care of, really.
I think part of the problem is, like you said, the fear of not wanting to know. People always say, well, I don't mind dying, or I'm just going to die. Well, that would be lucky if you just passed away in your sleep like my grandpa did. You know, that's a great way to go. If you suffer for 4 years with something that, you know, is growing inside of you that could have been cut out when it was small, and I'm a cancer survivor myself, and, you know, I had my first operation. I was so stupid and naive. I didn't even really know what was going on. It didn't hit me. And then 6 months later, it returned. Mm-hmm. Then I got scared. But then it got out, and I'm fine. I haven't been cancer-free for 40 years now. But, you know, it's amazing, like you said, if you could just lay down and pass away, I think we'd all choose that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, having a stroke or having colon cancer or having lung cancer, these things don't just pass away like that. Mm-hmm. You don't want that life. You want a good quality of life.
Absolutely.
Okay. So if we're interested and we don't have a primary, first of all, go to your primary care physician. That's our number one line of defense. But the reason I have you on today is because for people who don't have that and are seeking this option, what's their next best thing, Tina Averkamp? Is it this number 214-6300?
Yes, the Employer Clinic at 24th and Broadway, which is a very convenient location, easy parking, easy, you know, it's not going to take long to get you in his appointment. And of course, your annual wellness visit will be in your chart, and every detail of it is available to your primary care provider if they're located down at 9th Street, you know, or out to 48th Street. So that works well. So we will get you in with your primary care provider, a nurse practitioner, or at 24th and Broadway.
And that name of that clinic is misleading now, because
I know
I don't have to be a Blessing Hospital employee to go there. That's just the name of what you call the clinic.
Right.
But that clinic there at 24th and Broadway sees patients.
And I will add, Mary, that I don't want to forget this important part, that Medicare Advantage plans, they do provide Medicare annual wellness visits as well. So we're not trying to exclude them. So it's important that all 65 and plus get their annual wellness visit. But I encourage them to check their plan and what's covered. But Advantage plans are required to provide the wellness visit as well.
Dr. Taryn Blanchard, wonderful. Thank you for coming to our community.
Thank
Tina Averkamp, good to see you.
Uh-huh,
and
thank you
for keeping us healthy. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on.